Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Cool, we're famous.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. That's how I know. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Muy buenos dias, wake up America. It's Thursday, September 15th. Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Morning Air on the memorial of Our Lady of Sorrows. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you this morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Yesterday, we celebrated the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, and today the Catholic Church is commemorating Our Lady of Sorrows, the Mater Dolorosa, our suffering mother that always points us to her Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. On Thursdays, we always remember the institution of the Holy Eucharist on Holy Thursday by our Lord. And during this year of Eucharistic revival, let's try to make a special visit to the Blessed Sacrament today, if you can. Want to bring in Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the big stories making headlines on this Thursday morning?
Well, John, looks like we have a tentative agreement to halt a rail striker, which would have started tomorrow and been very bad. Several passenger rail lines have shut down routes, except in the Northeast, Amtrak has, because of sharing lines with the railroad lines with the freight rail companies. But things are looking like they'll be agreed to. The deal provides rail workers with better pay, better working conditions, and a peace of mind around some health care costs, according to the president. Labor Secretary Marty Walsh said the deal came after 20 consecutive hours of negotiations. And there was worry, too, John, that this would really disrupt the flow of our supply chain.
Yeah, it would have been devastating. It's the last thing we need right now, and it's still not final, still tentative.
Yeah, but it just needs ratification from a full measure on the workers' side, but it looks like it'll get done. Yep.
Great news there. Meanwhile, Queen Elizabeth II continues to lie in state at Westminster Hall. The lines are unbelievable. As long as they're being reported, as long as 2 miles long, a 7 to 8 hour wait to pay their respects to Her Majesty.
Yeah, that was really something yesterday to see the Queen moved from Buckingham Palace over to Westminster Hall. Lots of pomp and ceremony there, lots of dignity, and just I thought it was pretty neat as well to hear all of these Christian words in that service as the Queen was laid to rest there for the next week or so, or several days, broadcast across all the networks. That was kind of fun to hear the Our Father and a few other tidbits familiar to Catholics as well. But yeah, beautiful ceremony there, and just the quiet reverence with hundreds of thousands eventually of Londoners and those from around the world coming to pay their respects to the Queen.
Yeah, everyday folks, a lot of everyday folks, and obviously dignitaries as well. The one thing I noticed was that there's a cross right next to the coffin of the Queen, just a reminder of the Christianity that is such a part of the history of Britain.
Yeah, the Queen spoke not infrequently about her reliance and her worship of our Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely.
Meanwhile, there's a big Relevant Radio event tonight in your neck of the woods in the Twin Cities, Glenn.
Yeah, for those in the Twin Cities area, I just wanted to give a little shout out. I might see nearly 1,000 of you tonight. Now, sadly, the dinner is sold out, but our annual Christ Brings Hope dinner in the Twin Cities will be at the J.W. Marriott Hotel next to the Mall of America in Bloomington. It'll be a great chance to get together, and those events always are so joyful, just a bunch of joyful Catholics getting together and celebrating the work of Relevant Radio and getting to mingle with one another, so it'll be fun to be able to say hi tonight.
I've never been to the Christ Brings Hope dinner in Minneapolis. I have had the joy of attending the ones here in Chicago, and it really is a great time, and it's always a joy to see our Relevant Radio family up close and in person.
Yeah, it'd be great to see listeners out there. Absolutely. Looking forward to a good time tonight.
And, of course, that means that you will not be joining us tomorrow, after a late night with the folks tonight.
Yes, taking one of those many well-earned days off. And so it's a good time to do that.
Well, as always, thanks so much, Glenn. Appreciate it.
Sure thing, John.
We always begin every morning in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, especially on this day in which we commemorate Our Lady of Sorrows. We honor the Mother of God. And let's begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit here on Morning Air when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from John 19, 26 and 27. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Our Lord Jesus Christ entrusted his mother to the beloved disciple, St. John. And by doing so, our Lord established Mary as the mother of the church and the spiritual mother of every Christian believer. On this feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, let's remember the spiritual martyrdom that our blessed mother, the mother of God, suffered with her divine son. We always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Now, as we've been reporting all this past week, Pope Francis is in Kazakhstan for a three-day apostolic journey, his 38th papal trip that includes participating in the 7th Congress of Leaders of World and Traditional Religions. Pope Francis arrived in Kazakhstan on Tuesday, a country that borders Russia. The Holy Father said he came as a pilgrim of peace.
I am honored to be here with you in this land as vast as it is ancient. I have come here as a pilgrim of peace, seeking dialogue and unity. Our world urgently needs peace. It needs to recover harmony.
Vatican News correspondent Deborah Castellano-Luboff reports on the Holy Father's second day in Kazakhstan.
Beautiful and moving are the words that come to mind when I think of the Holy Mass that Pope Francis celebrated behind me. 6,000 pilgrims approximately were present. We know that the Catholics of Kazakhstan make up a mere 1% of the population, and this is the second time that a Pope has celebrated Mass for them in their country. The first time had been Pope St. John Paul II in 2001. During his homily, Pope Francis told them to look to Christ and to keep their gaze fixed upon him. The Holy Father also made an appeal, remembering the war in Ukraine, and he said we must not grow accustomed to the war. The Pope also remembered a special pilgrimage site very close to the hearts of the Kazakh Catholics, where miracles had taken place. In Kazakhstan, Deborah Castellano-Luboff, Vatican News, Vatican Radio.
Now joining us from Los Angeles to discuss the Holy Father's trip to Kazakhstan and other news stories that affect our church, our nation, and our world is Pablo Kay, the editor-in-chief of Angeles News. AngelesNews.com is your source for Catholic news, analysis, and commentary from Los Angeles, the nation's largest archdiocese. Good morning, Pablo. Thanks so much for joining us. It's always good to be with you.
Good morning, John. It's great to be with you, too.
Pablo, I'd love to get your impressions of the Pope's trip to Kazakhstan. What do you think is the main mission for this 38th apostolic journey abroad for the Holy Father?
Well, John, as you know, a lot of the buildup to this meeting centered around the possibility that Pope Francis might meet while in Kazakhstan with Patriarch Kirill, who was supposed to attend this meeting. Patriarch Kirill is the Patriarch of Moscow. And he's been a pretty loyal, staunch supporter of Vladimir Putin and this war, this incursion into Ukraine. Patriarch Kirill at one point announced that he would not be attending. And but the Pope went ahead with the trip despite his health issues and busy schedule. But still, the meeting itself, I think, is very important. It's an international gathering of religious leaders from all stripes. And it comes at this very precarious, tense moment in world affairs, where it seems we're teetering on, I don't want to say a world war, but really I think the war in Ukraine kind of shows that the world order is kind of shifting in directions we don't know, to put in a few words. So I think the Pope's trip accomplishes that. I think so far he's put an emphasis really on what unites us as people of different religions, which is that we have an innate desire for peace, for the transcendent, and that all that really, this desire points us to some basic truths, which is the respect for life, the dignity of life, the importance of peace, and all that. And so I think the Pope in this trip, while the big anticipated meeting with Patriarch Kirill did not happen, it seems that there's still some openness that they might be able to meet again in the near future, if his representative from the Russian Orthodox Church is right. And so we'll see what happens.
The president of Kazakhstan, President Tokayev, was very gracious, thanking the Holy Father for his tireless and dedicated efforts in the name of the human family around the world in what he called a critical juncture in human history. So he's been extremely well received.
Yes, and also it's important to remember and recall, and Deborah was just alluding to it in her report from Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan is home to a relatively very small minority of Catholics, 1-2% of the country's population, that suffered a lot in the past century under Soviet rule. And that repression really didn't let up until Kazakhstan became its own country again after the fall of the Soviet Union. During this trip, there were pilgrims also that came from Moscow, Catholic pilgrims. Anytime I think, the successor of Peter visits another country, it's a moment of grace. And I think this president understands that.
What do you think the Holy Father's presence means at this interreligious meeting with so many religious world leaders all on hand, hearing his message really of peace and social harmony?
I think it means, for one, that, as much as we, worry or speculate about the decreasing relevance of the church in world affairs and culture, the Holy Father is still, I think, the world looks to him for a certain degree of moral leadership, and that extends far beyond the Catholic Church or even Christian countries, right? I think you talk to any of these religious leaders that are there, and maybe there'll be more reporting from people like Deborah, but they look to the Pope as he carries with him a certain moral authority, and they're going to listen to every word he says.
And we continue to pray for the success of the Holy Father, Pope Francis, the rest of his trip there in Kazakhstan. Meanwhile, here closer to home, 2 years ago, Mission San Gabriel, the Archangel, was hit with a double punch. First, the COVID-19 pandemic, and then this mysterious fire that gutted the Mission Church, which is in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. Pablo, can you tell us about Mission San Gabriel and what it means to the people of the area?
Well, Mission San Gabriel is the first mission founded by the Spanish together with the native peoples here of the Los Angeles area. in what is now the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. We call it the birthplace of the gospel in Los Angeles. And so, the other day here in Los Angeles, we closed a special Jubilee year marking the 250th anniversary of this mission's founding by St. Junipero Serra. And it was a double punch back. Also, I wrote in my report, it seemed like a double punch back from God, in that we had this a beautiful Jubilee year, which just closed. But also it was a moment of rebirth, right? There was this, as you mentioned, this fire 2 years ago. An arsonist set this very old church building on fire. Motives are still not exactly clear. By the grace of God, it was barely spared. The whole interior was really destroyed to rubble, but the structure was saved. And so for the past 2 years, there's been a lot of intense restoration work. A lot of people have stepped up financially to support the restoration. And this is really, I think the other day was really a rebirth. I mean, the restoration was beautiful. This is also sacred ground for the native peoples here in the San Gabriel area, as it's believed that 5,000-6,000 of their ancestors are buried on these grounds of the mission, where they lived, where they worked, where they raised their families, where they prayed. So this was really a kind of a special moment of grace, and really neat that somehow in the design of Providence, this Jubilee year coincided with what ended up having to be almost total rebuilding of this mission.
Well, Pablo, there was also somewhat of a miracle that happened during the restoration of Mission San Gabriel. There's a connection to today's feast, Our Lady of Sorrows. Can you tell us about it?
Oh, yeah, it's great timing. yes, today, September 15th, the Lady of Sorrows, 2 years ago on this day, as workers were still cleaning up the rubble from this terrible fire, they found a damaged painting that they thought had been lost in this fire. And it was a very old painting of Our Lady of Sorrows. The origin is not exactly clear, as is the case with many of the artifacts in this mission, what year and exactly by whom, but really a striking, beautiful painting of Our Lady of Sorrows that was miraculously, we can say, with some certainty, recovered on that day. It has since been restored and is being kept. Hopefully the public will be able to see it once these renovations are fully complete at the mission later this year.
We continue to invoke Our Lady of Sorrows. Pray for us and pray for the success of this wonderful mission, San Gabriel. Meanwhile, the big story this week has been obviously the passing of Queen Elizabeth II. There's been such an outpouring of love and respect from world leaders, including Pope Francis, many bishops around the world. There's an interesting article at Angeles News by John Allen making the connection between the modern popes and Queen Elizabeth II.
Right. John was drawing a parallel that, the office of Peter, the popes, just like the British monarchs in the last several hundred years, their temporal material power has kind of waned, right? The popes used to be, used to have lands, they used to have armies, as did the king or queen of England, and the queen and king of England still technically do have a military and all that. But it would seem that their status, their power today is not symbolic, but it's what John refers to as soft, right? They don't wage wars. They don't directly influence government affairs, right? And this also ties into what we were just talking about, the Pope in Kazakhstan, right? We look to these leaders to find, the best version of ourselves, right? We yearn for that kind of what John calls soft leadership, which as there are examples of the popes in the last 100 years, and also of monarchs like Queen Elizabeth, that soft power still has the ability to affect and change real lives.
And one thing that we're definitely going to be seeing for the upcoming funeral of Queen Elizabeth II, expected to be the biggest funeral event of modern times, perhaps only rivaled by that of the funeral of Pope John Paul II.
Yeah, and I think you'll see really an outpouring. We're already seeing it, really, this this identification that the British people have with their beloved queen, the longest serving English monarch in history, I believe. And we're going to see Catholics there. I know the Cardinal of Archbishop of Westminster, Cardinal Nicholls, has already led requiem services. And also, I think there's a sense of gratitude from the Catholic Church in the United Kingdom of really the warm relationship that the English crown has had, especially in the last years, with the church also being outspoken in the defense of persecuted Christians around the world. And I think doing their part to really heal some of the wounds that exist in that country with respect to the history of anti-Catholic persecution on behalf of the English crown. And frankly, what I think at times were just tragic misunderstandings.
Well, Pablo, we're going to have to leave it right there. I really appreciate you being with us. As always, thanks so much for your perspective.
Oh, thank you, John. It's always an honor to be on here with you.
Pablo Kay, editor-in-chief of Angelus News, that's angelusnews.com, of the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Howard Dvorkin, Morning Air contributor and the chairman of Debt.com, will be with us to talk about some practical steps to pay off your debt, that is, your credit card debt. Stay with us as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales, Sarah Tafoya, and Glenn Leverins
on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Jump into the conversation. Call 888-914-9149.
You can have my credit card, baby, but keep your red hot fingers off of my heart, lady.
And welcome back to Morning Air. Perfect tune for this morning. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins and Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us on this Thursday. It's good to be with you. Our number, once again, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. And now let's talk about money. Yes, indeed. Did you know that the average U.S. household carries over $155,000 in debt? That's a collective $15 trillion, and that's up 6.2% from January of 2021. The debt comprises student loans and mortgages, and yes, especially credit card debt. Lots and lots of credit card debt. We're joined live this morning by Howard Dvorkin, Morning Air contributor and the chairman of Debt.com, to talk about ways that we can pay off credit card debt. If this is you, please listen carefully. Get a pen and a paper. Don't change that dial. Howard is a serial entrepreneur, a two-time author, a CPA, and a personal finance expert, and a community service champion. Good morning, Howard. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you once again.
John, it's great to hear your voice, and it's great to be back. So thank you for having me again, as always.
Howard, before we talk about credit card debt, and there's a lot to talk about, I was wondering, I'd love to get your take, as I know you are such a financial expert, your perspective on our nation's most recent inflation report with prices soaring 8.3% on the year. How do you see it? What does it mean for the regular folks?
Well, I think, with gas prices coming down, it really provided a false sense of reality for us. The gas prices came down a little bit, which was great to see. However, prices still remain high. I mean, you're not going to go to a restaurant and they're not going to reduce that meal that you love from down to what it was before the pandemic, because wages are still high and a lot of costs are still high. So inflation is here and it's going to be here for a while. So don't be fooled into some false sense of reality. Inflation is a killer, and we are in a recession, John. There's no doubt. You know, the government doesn't want to admit it, unfortunately, before an election period, but inflation is here and it's here to stay. What people need to understand is you can work around inflation. You can beat inflation. You just got to be a little more frugal than you were maybe a couple of years ago.
And the last thing that we want to do is go into even more and more debt. I want to talk a little about debt. Debt obviously is not fun. Can you explain to us why a credit card debt can be so devastating?
Well, sure. I mean, it's interest rates. I mean, people are out there, they're buying things not because they can afford them, because they want them. Instead of saving up and buying something, people go and put it on their credit card, and the credit card companies are very happy to charge you on average 24%-ish on average across the country, and it's rising. The interest rates compound year after year. So by the time you get done paying on whatever item you put on your credit card and you didn't pay off when the bill came on, and it's probably not even in use anymore, because say if you spend $10,000 on a stereo system or a home entertainment system, well, guess what? It's going to take you 14 years to pay that off. And that's going to be traumatic. When you put things on credit cards, you you don't pay it off when the bill comes in, it's detrimental, because that compounding interest is a killer for all of us.
And sometimes you can be tempted, because they might have some kind of a gimmick like, no interest for the first year, for example. And so you get hooked in, and next thing you know, the thing just, goes super high afterwards.
Well, that's the trick. I mean, these marketers are trained people. They're smart marketers. They're trained to extract money out of all of us. And they're going to do that. And these tricks work. And by the way, not every credit card offer is equal. You've got to be very careful. Some are no payments. Some are low payments. Some, you have to realize, no payments for a year. Well, guess what? If you don't pay that off at the end of that year within that 12th month, all the interest is then recaptured onto the card.
Wow.
So nothing is for free in this world. And when you're dealing with credit cards, buyer beware.
Yes, indeed. So the question is, how do we get out of the hole? How do we start the process of paying off our credit card debt?
Well, John, the first part is know where you are. I have a friend that says, Howard, in order to get out of the ditch, you got to get the truck out of the ditch to move forward. And sure enough, he is right. You got to know where you're going. You got to take inventory of your debts, know how much you owe, who you owe, what are the interest rates, what are the terms of those loans. That's the very first thing for understanding how to get out of debt.
Do you think that a lot of folks really have no idea what the terms are? They don't know what the interest rate, they just know they owe money, and they don't pay attention to all the fine print.
Well, most people, you're right. That is the case in most people. They know they owe money. They don't know exactly how much they owe. And if I talk to 10 people, John, I'm going to get answers, and chances are they're probably going to be on average 30% lower than what they actually owe, because people don't put in their head the compounding interest that is added on to their debt, and they can't even figure that out. And especially, you can keep track of one or two debts, you know, in your mind, maybe three, maybe even four. But the average person I talk to at debt.com, they have eight credit cards. And eight credit cards is very hard, even for a trained CPA such as myself, to keep track of. That's incredibly hard. People need to make a budget, understand where they're going. They need to understand how much money is coming into the house every month, how much money is going out, and then make a plan. And you can easily find a budget on debt.com. We have plenty of budget tools on that site, and they're free, and I think it's a great start.
What about taking a look at one's credit report? Do you think there's some value in that, again, as you're trying to assess where you're at?
Well, the government offers a free credit report by going to, guess what, freecreditreport.com. And it's required that consumers can look at that credit report. During the pandemic, they allowed people to look at it every month. Now I think they're going to probably tailor it back to going back to once a year for free at some point. Looking at your credit report is a good idea, just simply so, because you may not know that there's some bills lurking out there, or maybe even collection items such as old medical bills and things like that you forgot about. So it is a good idea at least once a year. And by the way, it's a great idea because to review your credit reports, because somebody may have had access to your credit and opened up credit cards under your name. So you should definitely keep track of that.
That's a whole nother topic, just yet another thing to worry about besides the interest rates on all these credit cards. It's hard to believe that the average person has eight credit cards, as you reported.
Yeah, well, that's the people that see me. You know, the fact of the matter is, you know, all these store credit cards, regular visas, debit cards, all these things add up, and it's very, very hard to keep track of.
You know, you mentioned debit cards. Just a quick thought. How do you differentiate between using a debit card, which is your actual money, and the credit card? Some people use them interchangeably.
They do, but even debit cards, if you have overdraft protection, guess what? That's a debt, too. So you got to be careful of that because you could get yourself into trouble. Debit cards are a great idea because you're extracting the money right there and then out of your bank account. You're not putting it on credit, but you got to also be careful with debit cards. Also, using credit cards or debit cards or any type of card in general, you're going to spend more money. You're going to spend more money if you use plastic because there's no pain factor in using that on those credit cards. It's kind of cool. You whip it out, you sign your name, and you walk out instead of using that green stuff, John. What is that called that goes between your fingers? Ah, cash.
Cash. Yes.
Cash hurts psychologically. You worked for that. You don't want to give that up so easy. So people don't like to lose their cash.
Howard, and we're joined this morning by Howard Dvorkin, the chairman of Debt.com. We're talking about some practical suggestions, some steps to pay off your credit card debt. Howard, cash in so many ways has kind of become out of style in many places. There are some places that don't even take cash. You can't even pay for cash. For example, if you go to a Major League Baseball game, by and large, just about everything is done on plastic.
Isn't that amazing? You don't. I always like get taken back because I was at a football game the other day and my college and they wouldn't take my cash, and I was like totally taken back. And for a person who stresses that people should pay in cash, it was like, wow, they won't even take my cash. That's more coming out of the pandemic years. you know, they didn't want, they thought cash was infected and they didn't want to take that. Because the disease, the
it was
virus
nuts. Was it was absolutely insane because there was no science behind that. That was just people, you know, being afraid, really, of using cash for that very reason. So it's kind of a residue effect.
You know what? I was thinking we were going to walk around in moon suits for the rest of our lives.
Well, I tell you what, you know, you still see folks walking around, you know, that acting like we're still in 2020. So, you know, it may be
It'll take a little time, you know. Unfortunately, the media did a nice job of drilling it into our heads, certain networks.
Absolutely.
Did a nice job of drilling it into our heads where, you know, the world is coming to an end. So I'm happy to say that we're still here and we're still cooking. And, you know, I will tell you, when I get on a plane, I still wear a mask, but that's about it. Not even sure I should, but. Yeah, I think for an hour I could do it.
And cash is still good.
Cash is still good. It will keep you. It will keep the debt monsters away from you, no question. And you know, let's talk about an emergency fund.
I'll tell you what. Before we go to that, and definitely we want to touch base on the emergency fund. We need to take a short break, Howard. You know how this works. We have to take a short break, and I also want to invite our listeners. If there's anybody out there listening, and the words of Howard Dvorkin are resonating when it comes to credit cards, if you want to be part of this conversation, if you have a comment or question for Howard, the chairman of Debt.com, we're taking your calls, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We'll take a short break. We continue our conversation with Howard Dvorkin, the chairman of Debt.com. There's more to come after this.
Well, I guess this story must begin that fateful day way back when I decided I should have a credit card. So I filled out this application, listed all my recommendations.
And welcome back to Morning Air, a perfect bumper here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for being with us this morning as we continue our conversation with Howard Dvorkin, the chairman of Debt.com and a regular contributor to Morning Air. We're talking about ways to pay off your credit card debt. We'll be with Howard in just a moment, but I wanted to make sure, in case you haven't heard us in recent days, I want to tell you about a new fun and educational book here at Relevant Radio. Whether you're Catholic curious or a curious Catholic, learn something new about the Catholic faith, guided by our very own Patrick Madrid and his brand new book, Inquisition, it's called, with the emphasis on the quiz part. Expand your understanding from the very beginning tenets of our faith to tidbits that had even our experts learning something brand new. Sign up for your free copy of Inquisition this morning at relevantradio.com/quiz. There's no shipping or handling charges. It's totally, absolutely 100% free. This is a limited time offer. You can get Patrick Madrid's brand new book, Inquisition. Sign up right now, this morning, at relevantradio.com/quiz. In fact, I have my copy here. There's so many interesting little tidbits and questions that we're going to have to do a whole show and get Patrick on to talk about a few of these. Howard, welcome back.
Thanks, John.
We started to talk about an emergency fund. This is something that some financial advisors recommend. What are your thoughts on emergency funds in relation to dealing with credit card debt?
Well, you have to have some cash in the bank. I mean, obviously, I would love to put 100% of your money towards wiping out any outstanding credit card debt, but in order to really be secure, you have to have some money just in case, God forbid, you lose your job or you get sick or something along those lines. A lot of my contemporaries say, oh, you need 6 months in the bank to cover any expenses for the next 6 months that you have. Well, for most of us, that's half a year's salary, and that's a lot of money to be sitting around, especially if you're in credit card debt. So try to put a couple months away. I mean, granted, there's unemployment and there's other things that you can tap on to get some help, but at least have some savings and try not to use them. Put them away where it might be a little more difficult to get to, so the temptation to go out and blow it on something that's really not that important isn't there.
Howard, we have an early bird listener with us this morning. Joe is joining us from Oceanside, California. Joe, welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Howard Dvorkin.
Great, thank you. So, Howard, I have a question about, it's not debt necessarily, but I see these commercials on TV, and I just saw one yesterday with Newt Gingrich. They're talking about people stealing your titles online, titles to your house. And, of course, they want you to buy something. So is this for real? And if so, how can I safeguard my title without buying all these plans?
Frankly, yeah. By the way, hi, Joe. And, yes, it is for real. It does happen. However, there are safeguards around there that you can get your house back. Nobody's going to come in and take your house. Obviously, they're using fear to sell a product, and to lose your house is incredibly scary. However, the law is the law, and if these people didn't take your house, yes, is it going to be a hassle that you're going to have to do some work to get it back? Yes. The reality is it doesn't happen that often, and to pay somebody for protection to do it before it's even an issue is probably not a worthwhile investment for the average person. Could it happen? Yes. Have I seen it? Absolutely. But you know, they have to, in order for them to actually take the property, you had to agree to it. They could put their name on it all day long, and it's a pain to get it off. And it takes you a little bit to get clean title again, but I don't think that's a worthwhile investment on the consumer's part.
Joe, thanks for calling in. I hope that helps. Howard, I'm sure there's some folks out there listening to us this morning who are just absolutely buried in debt and don't see any way of getting out. What should someone like that do? What's the first thing they should do?
Well, they need to take, an inventory of where they are. They need to figure out and make a plan. And maybe they need to talk to a credit counselor at debt.com to go through and get some help by knowledgeable people that are going to advise you on the right path to take. A lot of the times people call debt.com and we just give them some advice. And you know, advice is free, but hopefully most of them take it in order to get out of debt. Some people need a little bit more, which what is called a debt management plan, which will structure a program that will reduce the interest rates for the consumer who comes to us and make a payment that's usually 30 to 50% lower than what they're typically paying and get them out of debt in a 3 to 4 year period. Others, and more importantly, you know, they need something a little harsher, which is called the debt settlement plan, where they're paying 40 cents on the dollar but of what they owe. However, you know, there's some negatives to that because their credit is usually impacted as a result of that plan. Others, unfortunately, may need to seek bankruptcy, and we try to do that at the very, you know, the last alternative. Because it's all easy for somebody to say, oh, you should file bankruptcy, you're in debt. Well, that's usually those words come out of people's mouths that really don't understand what options are available, and frankly, that aren't that educated. Some people do need it, but that should be a last resort, not a first choice.
Without a doubt, there's definitely ramifications to filing for bankruptcy. In the last few moments that we have, just your recommendations in terms of people who are in debt and the difference that it makes whether the debt is maybe, let's say, for example, $5,000 or less, or folks who maybe have as much as $20,000, $25,000, and people who have even way more than that. A couple of thoughts.
Well, first of all, stop using your credit cards. If you have any debt and you want to get out of debt, you're not going to do it if you keep charging on one credit card and paying down on a handful of others. You're just transferring the debt. So stop using your debt. Do a budget. Go through and figure out a path. Talk to somebody who has legitimacy behind them that understands how to get people out of debt and the right path. There's a different plan for all of us. Some of us make more money, some of us make less money. You just got to find the right plan. On debt.com, our website, there's a lot of information. Also, I want to tell people that they should proprietize their debt. If you do that, pay the debts that are charging you the highest interest rate first, regardless of the balance. A lot of people want to pay off their smallest balances first. Focus on the interest rates and get out of debt that way. And again, stop using credit cards. It's not going to get you any. But if you need help, do it with a buddy of yours. Try to, have a little challenge. Who could pay off more debt in X amount of time? Make a gamification of getting out of debt, which is kind of neat. It's a good idea, but you can have a buddy of yours or another family come up and challenge ways to save money and get out of debt faster.
Howard, what about taking the physical credit card, literally grabbing a pair of scissors and cutting it in half? Is that maybe a way mentally to make a decision that you've made a decision? This is it. I'm not using these cards anymore.
John, I'm going to get old school on you. I've seen where people have taken the physical credit card and froze it in a bottle of water and kept it in their freezer because they could sit there and it would take a little while for the ice to melt before they could get to it. And basically, so by the time it melts, it might be a half a day, a day. They didn't have the urge to use it. So I've seen all types of ways to get out of debt, but cutting the credit cards is a great idea because it'll take you a couple weeks to get a new one. But these days, you don't even need the physical credit card. You could just go online and, unfortunately, unless you cut the credit card into a million pieces, you could still figure out all the numbers that you need and the codes that you need to utilize it. So I'm not sure cutting the credit cards is a great idea these days, but you know what? Any way you can, just make it a conscious effort to get rid of this debt, take the weight around your neck off and leave it off, and you're going to have a blessed rest of your life if you can live without being saddled with credit card debt.
Great suggestions. Really appreciate your perspective. Again, debt.com is the place to go. There's all kinds of good stuff, many services that they provide. Howard, as always, thanks so much for being with us.
God bless you, John. Have a great day and a great week.
God bless you too. Howard Dvorkin, the chairman of debt.com. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called They Sent Me to Finish. The Olympic Games, Mexico, 1968. The marathon is the final event on the program. The Olympic Stadium is packed, and there's excitement as the first athlete and Ethiopian runner enters the stadium. The crowd erupts as he crosses the finish line. Way back in the field is another runner, John Stephen Ekwari of Tanzania. He's been eclipsed by the other runners. After 30 kilometers, his head is throbbing, his muscles are aching, and he falls to the ground. He has serious leg injuries, and officials want him to retire, but he refuses. With his knee bandaged, Ekwari picks himself up and hobbles the remaining 12 kilometers to the finish line. An hour after the winner has finished, Aguirre enters the stadium. All but a few thousand of the crowd have gone home. Aguirre moves around the track at a painstakingly slow pace until finally he collapses over the finish line. It's one of the most heroic efforts of Olympic history. Afterward, asked by a reporter why he'd not dropped out, Aguirre said, "My country did not send me to start the race. They sent me to finish." Hebrews 12:1, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us."
Absolutely love it. Thanks so much, Glenn. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, Bishop Donald Hying of Madison, Wisconsin, will join us to discuss the Society of St. Vincent de Paul and their method of evangelization. And on his Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, Father James Kubicki will explain the seven sorrows of Mary. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air next hour on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.